It's the Tully Ringy Legal Power Hour on 810 WGY.
You're listening to the Tully Ringy Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and each Sunday at 9 p.m., I'm here to give you my insight on the legal and political issues happening locally and across the country that affect you. In addition to listening on your radio, we're broadcasting around the world on WGY.com. You could also visit our show's website, TullyRinkyShow.com, for podcasts, previous shows, and to comment on our blog. Tonight's show is all about criminal law. We'll be discussing what to do if you're stopped by the police, traffic violations, DWIs, and drug laws. Joining me tonight is my guest host and law partner, Kylie Scott, and criminal defense attorney and former Albany County Assistant District Attorney, Gina Decker. Also with us is on-air correspondents, College Chris, and our favorite intern, Taylor. We'd like to hear what you have to say tonight. Give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or press star WGY on your cell phones to get in touch with us. We'll be starting off tonight talking about the steps to take if you're stopped by the police. Now, Gina, you used to be a former Albany County Assistant District Attorney.
Yes, I did.
You had regular communications with police officers, and from what I understand, that you're pretty well known in the police community. So you probably know what to do when police are stopped. I want to give you a scenario, and it's a hypothetical scenario. But I'm in Cohoes. I go outside my trailer, and I smoke up every night at 6 p.m. One night, a cop turns the corner of my trailer and sees me there smoking a cigar with marijuana filled into it. What can I do? What should I do? And what can the cop do?
Well, Matt, at that point, you want to be as cooperative as possible.
Why? Why can't I just take my marijuana and run inside and try and flush it down the toilet before the cop can catch me?
If you run into your house, the cop then has authorization to follow you into your house, under exigent circumstances, thinking you're disposing of the evidence. If you stay outside, you be as cooperative as possible. Don't act nervous. Don't be reaching for things.
Should I tell the cop when he asks me, what are you doing? Should I tell him, hey, I'm smoking some weed, leave me alone?
I wouldn't admit anything. I would be as cooperative as possible, be polite, don't admit anything. You have the absolute right not to incriminate yourself, and I would advise any clients not to incriminate themselves.
Can the cop throw me up against the side of my trailer and start petting me down?
In that situation, no. New York State has 4 levels of police intrusion. At that point, smoking marijuana is not a crime, so he can ask you your name. He can ask you.
Hold on. Smoking marijuana isn't a crime? So I can smoke up in Albany County every night and I can never get a criminal record?
Technically, yes, you're right. Smoking marijuana, having a joint or a blunt is what's called unlawful possession of marijuana, and it's a violation. It's not a crime. It's not even punishable by any jail time. So technically, you're right. You can smoke up every night and not have a criminal record in Albany County.
Do you get fined?
Yes, you can be fined. And as you have an automatic right to an ACOD, which is an adjournment in contemplation of dismissal for your first UPM. Second one is a fine. Your third one, fine increases. And your fourth one, fine increases even more.
So you're absolutely right then. I guess if I'm smoking marijuana, I should just be nice to the cop because the worst that's going to happen to me is I pay a couple of bucks.
Right.
So if I were to run inside, I'm opening the door up to a whole bunch of other things, probably resisting arrest, obstruction of government administration.
Well, how is that resisting arrest? Because you can't be arrested for smoking marijuana.
Ooh, good point.
Good point. Well, you run into your house, you give the officer the right to go in to follow you, and if he sees something in plain view in your house, you can be arrested for that.
All right, that makes sense.
What other types of searches can the police officer do? Can, you know, he search my house if I'm outside smoking marijuana?
No.
What can he do?
He can search your what's known as reachable, grabbable area for officer safety purposes only. And that's why it's important to have an attorney given an appearance ticket for UPM. It's important to get an attorney. If they do search you and find more evidence, that would be thrown out.
All right. Well, let's change the situation a little bit. Instead of me smoking pot, let's use a more realistic example. Chris.
I got a situation where, hypothetical situation, walking in the streets of Albany, it's around midnight, and of 21 years of age, and I have an open container. And a police officer approaches me and asks me what I'm doing. I drop my container on the ground, and he approaches me, searches me, takes my wallet out, goes through my stuff. That doesn't seem like something they should be able to do.
Well, in that situation, if he comes up to you, he's allowed to, just as any other normal citizen can. He can ask you your name, your travel plans, and your reason for being in that particular location. Because, again, an open container is not a crime.
Can he pour out his beer all over the street?
Yes.
That's what most cops do, right? If the kid's 21 and he's got beer, they'll pour it out.
Well, what can he do? I can be given a ticket, or there's no way I could be arrested, even if he goes through my wallet and maybe I'm not 21 and he finds a fake ID. What is that situation going to?
Well, it's...
But why is he going through your wallet?
Because he pulled me over on the side of the road walking.
I don't know. Tell us about that, a former assistant district attorney.
Well, I think in that situation, again, I believe it's important to get an attorney, because anything he finds in that search, because it's not criminal activity technically, anything he finds, I believe, would be thrown out. I believe that he has the right to ask you why you're there and your name, but you have the right to refuse to answer his questions.
Let's go to the phones for a second. We got Christian from, don't know where, but Christian's on there, on his cell. He's on his cell. Let's go to him, and if anybody else wants to give us a call, 1-800-TALK-WGY. I see Paul from Del Mar is also on the line. We'll get to you probably after the break, Paul. But first, Christian, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Tell us, what's your situation?
I'm just curious. Could you get arrested with possession of marijuana?
Yes, you absolutely can, and it depends on the amount of marijuana that you have. If you have a simple blunt, which is generally under 25 grams, yeah, unlawful possession of marijuana is only a violation. And it's actually even more restricted, because generally a violation means you are not guilty of a criminal offense, but you can serve up to 15 days in jail. But actually, under the unlawful possession of marijuana, it says that you can't do any jail time. The worst that can happen is that you get fined. And here's a little tip for you. If it's your first offense, as a matter of law, it gets adjourned in contemplation of dismissal, which means the first time you get unauthorized possession of marijuana, assuming you don't get in any trouble in 6 months, that case is going to get thrown out. So your first marijuana possession is a freebie. Your second one, you're going to get hit with a $100 fine, and it works your way up. I think after about your third or fourth offense in 3 years, you're looking at about $250 in fines. Now, with that said, if you are in possession of marijuana more than 25 grams. And 25 grams is about an ounce, give or take. If you're in possession of more than that, you can get hit with a Class B misdemeanor. And that means you're punishable by up to 6 months in jail. And tell me if I'm wrong, Gina, but if you have marijuana, it's a simple blunt, and I were to pass it to College Chris, can I get charged with selling marijuana?
Absolutely. In New York State, you can be charged with selling marijuana even if you're not profiting. They call it without consideration, which means if College Chris and our favorite intern are passing a joint back and forth, they can both be charged with selling marijuana.
That's real tricky there. So I guess the key here is when College Chris and Taylor are smoking marijuana, they each need to bring their own amount, because if they pass it back and forth, it bumps it up to a crime. Paul from Del Mar, how you doing tonight?
Fan of the show.
What's that, Paul?
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every Sunday.
Hey, that's awesome.
My question was just, if I'm driving in the car and someone with me is drinking a beer on the side, my roommate always likes to do this, and I have no alcohol in my system, mm-hmm. can I still get in trouble even though I'm the one that I'm not drinking, even though I'm driving?
That is a great question. So you're not doing anything wrong. You are just driving down the road, and your passenger is drinking.
Open container.
Now, can the cops pull you over? Now, I guess the technical question there is, how do the cops know that you have you have alcohol in your car?
Say I was just simply stopped for running a stop sign.
Okay.
But I just mean specifically, would I get in trouble for the open container, not for running the stop sign?
You wouldn't, unless we're talking about constructive possession. But generally, if it's in your passenger's lap, it's clear that it's the passenger's and it's not yours, so you should be fine.
Okay.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for calling. What we're going to do now is we're going to run into a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about traffic tickets and how you can beat them. Give us a call, 1-800-TALK-WGY, star WGY on your cell phones.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, portfolio manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
All right, Integral One Network Solutions. Tell me what they do again.
Well, they worked with us to design our new computer network. That's really made a difference. Helps us run our business better. They monitor everything 24/7 to keep it running smoothly. And they manage it all, so I don't have to hire an IT guy.
So when I hire Integral One, they manage my network so I can manage my business. Talk about peace of mind.
Integral One Network Solutions, online at integralone.net. That's integralone.net, 464-4014.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but first-rate funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable-rate mortgage, first-rate funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First-rate funding, New Carter Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
As a busy working professional, looking good's important to you. No one understands this better than Best Cleaners, the Capital Region's premier garment care provider and dry cleaner. Got a wrinkle in your schedule? Best Cleaners offers pickup and delivery of your dry cleaning right from your home or office, so you don't have to fit one more errand into your busy week. Call 458-BEST, and we'll take care of the rest. With three locations in Del Mar, Loudonville, and on the Latham Circle, Best Cleaners. Always look your best. Call 458-BEST. 458-BEST.
Welcome back to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and tonight we're talking about criminal law. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Kylie Scott, good friend of mine and a law partner, as well as former Albany County Assistant District Attorney and now criminal defense attorney, Gina Decker, our favorite intern, Taylor, and college, Chris. Thanks for a lot for listening tonight. And if you have something to say, or you want to share your opinion, give us a call. 1-800-TALK-WGY, star WGY on your cell phones. Gina, what happens after the cops put me in the back of the car?
Well, Matt, you're going to be brought to a local criminal court for arraignment. And, first you're going to be brought to a police station. And more often than not, I don't want to say in every instance, but generally you're going to be asked some questions by a police officer.
So he's going to basically try and find out who's selling me my marijuana, or if marijuana is a bad example because you shouldn't be taking me to the station, I should be getting an appearance ticket. But let's assume I had crack. They'd be taking me back to the station and asking me, hey, do I want to cooperate? Should I cooperate?
I would advise against it. Anything you say from that point on can be used against you, and you have Miranda rights for a reason. You have absolute right not to incriminate
yourself.
And
Miranda rights, that's that you have the right to an attorney.
Right. Right to remain silent, right to an attorney. Anything you can you say can and will be used against you. I would, at this point, recommend asking for an attorney. In every situation when the possibility of jail time is involved, you want to get an attorney involved as soon as possible to protect your rights. They're going to have a lot more knowledge about the law than you are, and what rights to waive will be in your benefit and what won't be in your benefit.
Matt, if I can jump in for a moment here.
Sure, Kylie.
Also, at this point is the time when the police usually talk to the individual and tell them, hey, if you help us out here, tell us what's going on, we're going to go easy on you. We're going to make sure that your charges go away, or we're going to not write you up for certain things. And you help us out, we'll help you out. They are under no obligation to follow through on any promises that they give you at that time. And you have to understand that their job is to solve this case and bring you to court and basically place you under arrest. So
don't listen to the cops in the station house? Is that what you're saying?
They are not your friend, Matt.
They can lie. They can say whatever they want.
They can say whatever they want, Chris, in order to get you to confess. So
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kylie, but let's say there's three of you, four of you being arrested for the same thing. They can lie to you and tell you, you know, your friend rolled over on you. It's in your best interest to tell us what's going on before his statement gets in.
So basically don't talk. Just get your attorney on the phone. That's the first thing that I would do.
Bottom line is do not tell them anything. The only thing that should be coming out of your mouth is I want an attorney present.
So if a policeman's asking you questions, you should just not say anything, not answer the questions, and just say, I want a lawyer?
It's your right under the Constitution is to refuse to answer questions until you have an attorney present. And my advice to all our listeners is to use your constitutional right. Don't answer questions without having an attorney present.
My BlackBerry is lit up right now. I am getting tons of emails from police officers all around the Capital Region saying, what are we doing tonight? We are telling the criminals how to get away with their crimes. But, Kylie, that's not what we're doing. Aren't we telling people about their rights?
That's correct.
So all of you police officers that are sending me these nasty emails to my BlackBerry, rest assured we will have a show sometime in the future and we will give classes on how to get criminals. But tonight is how to get a criminal off as easy as possible. And it sounds like the easiest way is to ask for police and not talk – or, correction, ask for lawyers and not talk to the police, if that's what I'm getting. Now, okay, after I tell the cops, all right, I want my lawyer, they're going to take my photo, they're going to do my fingerprints, and then when do I see a judge during this process?
Well, you'll be arraigned after they take your picture, after they fingerprint you. They'll bring you in front of a judge, and you'll have what's called an arraignment.
How long can they keep me in the city of Cohoes police jail? Is it, 24 hours? Can they keep me there for 2 weeks because I'm, asking for my lawyer and they're not giving me the right to make a phone call?
Well, once you're arraigned, Matt, basically you have 180 hours between, if it's a felony, between the time that you're arraigned and what's called a preliminary hearing. And that's another reason why it's a good idea to have an attorney, because if it goes over that 180 hours, a lawyer knows, hey, my client's sitting in jail unlawfully at this point. I'm going to file a motion to get him out.
Well, tell me about a preliminary hearing.
A preliminary hearing is a hearing that somebody can elect to have if they want to go through with it. And basically what it is it's a hearing where the DA's office is going to put forth as little evidence as they possibly can to show that a felony took place and our client or the defendant was or could have possibly been involved. They're not going to put forth a lot of evidence because they don't have to. The standard is not as high as if it was, beyond a reasonable doubt, like a trial. So all they have to show is that something took place that was a felony and that the defendant was possibly involved.
Does the defendant get to defend himself in this part of the process, or does he just sit back and...
Yes, he does. He does get to defend himself. He can testify if he wants to. 9 times out of 10, I always advise my clients to not take the stand at a preliminary hearing because everything that they say at that point can be used against him should the case proceed to trial.
Now, the preliminary hearing is after the arraignment. So at the arraignment, all you're getting advised of is your rights and a bail amount, right?
Well, you're getting advised. It's basically when you are formally given your charges at that point, Matt. Bail is not necessarily set on that at that time. If it's a misdemeanor, there may be bail set. However, if it's a felony, they don't have to set bail. They can set it down for a preliminary hearing.
Okay, and I have 180 hours after that arraignment for the preliminary hearing. Now, does the district attorney's office use the preliminary hearings as a way to negotiate plea bargains? Can they say, all right, you waive the preliminary hearing, I'll cut you a better deal?
They don't necessarily use it like that, but a defense attorney usually wants to get with his client before a preliminary hearing and say, hey, look, how much can you come up with as far as bail? And he'll find out how much his client has available to him, and then he will say to the DA, if you guys can set bail at this amount, we'll go ahead and waive the preliminary hearing. If the DA bites off on that, then I go back to my client and say, if you can come up with that money and waive your prelim, they're going to set bail at that amount today, and you'll be out of jail in an hour.
Why would you want to waive your prelim? Doesn't it seem if you didn't do anything wrong, then this first prelim could be a way to get out of everything, and then you wouldn't have to have an attorney forever?
Well, like I said, even if the standard for a preliminary hearing is not as high as if you were in a trial, an actual trial. So it's a very low threshold. 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose the preliminary hearing. That's just the bottom line. And also keep in mind that even if you were to win the preliminary hearing, the district attorney could still send those charges to a grand jury. So it doesn't mean your case is over with. or the charges are dismissed.
Hey, Jay from Loudonville, let's get us off of arraignments and preliminary hearings and onto traffic tickets. How you doing tonight?
Good, sir. I'm calling on my cell phone. Sorry if the connection's bad. I was pulled over going 40 and a 30, and I have to go to court tomorrow night, and I don't have any legal representation. I'm just wondering if I'm going to get a chance to maybe talk to the prosecuting attorney and maybe make a deal or something, or is that unrealistic?
That is completely realistic. As a matter of fact, a lot of people make a mistake, Jay, of on the ticket that you got, there's an opportunity to plead guilty or not guilty. A lot of people just plead guilty because they don't want the hassles of having to go to court or trying to negotiate with the town attorney or district attorney, depending on whatever the case may be. But you're doing the absolute right thing to do here, which is to plead not guilty and then contest it, because 99 times out of 100, you're going to get offered some type of plea deal. And here's a little tip for you. Because you're only being accused of 10 miles over the speed limit, your insurance isn't going to go up. There's going to be some other ramifications that we'll talk about in a second. But the main thing,
4 points on a license, and I drive for a living. I'm concerned about next year when my employer runs my license, I could lose my job, you know?
Yeah, those are all good points. But as long as it's 15 under the speed limit, roughly,
my insurance won't go up.
Your insurance won't go up. Now, will it appear as a conviction? Absolutely. If this is your first offense, the most common plea on first offenses, if you had a good driving history, is what's called...
I do, completely crystal clear, yeah.
Yeah, what I would recommend that you do is you ask for a 1201. That's, we're getting you into some slang terms.
But is that a supporting deposition?
No, we'll talk about supporting depositions, but a 1201 is parking on the pavement. And the reason why that's a good deal is it won't appear as a conviction of a moving violation. So
right,
if you're
that's all I'm concerned about. You know, never mind the money. I just can't have the marks. So.
Absolutely. Go into court tomorrow. Plead not guilty. Speak to the prosecutor. Say, listen, I'm willing to take a 1201. And here's the reason why a lot of prosecutors don't mind giving 1201s on first offenses, because you're going to have to pay a fine. And the fine, you know, ranges. But you're going to get hit with a fine and a surcharge. So as long as you're willing to pay that.
Now, I don't have all my money together tomorrow.
They allow
a problem?
No, it's not a problem. You explain that to the prosecutor, and they will generally give you sometimes 30 days, 60 days. You got to work it out with the prosecutor, but they generally work it out. As long as you're, you know, a clean-cut guy, that you weren't nasty to the police officer, getting a plea deal is not uncommon. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. It would be uncommon if you couldn't plead us out.
Now, just bear with me here. When I walk into court and they call my name, is that when I ask to talk to the prosecuting attorney, or do I try to do that beforehand?
It depends on the court. Some courts, the prosecutor won't talk to you until after you get in front of the judge. So it depends on who calls your name. If it's like Colony...
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's our favorite court. If it's Colony, what will generally happen is the prosecutor will call you before the judge calls you, and you'll get pulled into a side room, and the prosecutor will say, listen, you know, what's the story here? And you'll say, can I get a 1201A? I have a clean record. You know, I'm willing to pay whatever fine you want. And because you're a nice guy, because you know the system, you know the right lingo, odds are he'll agree to a 1201. He'll fill out a little form that he'll sign. He'll give to you. You take that up to the judge. The judge will explain to you that you're pleading guilty to moving on the pavement or parking on the pavement, and that you're going to get fined. You say,
okay,
I'm guilty.
Listen, let me throw this spin on it. Say that's a no-go. Ask it for it to be adjourned till I get legal representation.
Absolutely,
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And what'll happen is if you don't plead out tomorrow, it'll definitely get adjourned because in all likelihood the town judge is going to schedule it down for a trial. So if you go tomorrow and you can't plead out, the next thing is the judge will put it down for about anywhere between a month and 2 months down the road for the trial, where the police officer is actually going to come in and prosecute the case.
Right, so the actual officer will not be there tomorrow.
Most likely not.
Okay, I understand. I thank you for your advice, sir.
Hey, no problem, John.
Nice show.
Hey, good luck. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. What we're going to be doing shortly is going to the news and the weather. But when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about traffic violations. Luckily, we got a very hot radio tonight in that we're getting a lot of calls. But we are going to come back, and we are going to talk about traffic violations, what to do when the cops pull you over, whether you should hire an attorney, what are the consequences if you plead guilty, what are some of the myths. It's going to be a fun night. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-TALK-WGY, star WGY on your cell phones.
Fox News Radio, I'm Bill Vitka. A Sunday on the talk shows for Obama and McCain. From America's election headquarters, John McCain on ABC's This Week going after his rival on Iraq.
Senator Obama doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what's at stake here. And he chose to take a political path that would have helped him get the nomination of his party.
Barack Obama, meantime, on what he's looking for in a vice president.
I want somebody who I'm compatible with, who I can work with, who has a shared vision, who certainly complements me in the sense that they provide a knowledge base or an area of expertise that can be useful.
Obama on NBC's Meet the Press. In Turkey, two bombs exploding minutes apart in a residential part of Istanbul. 15 people killed, more than 150 hurt. The governor there calling it a terror attack. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Well, in the overnight hours tonight, scattered thunderstorms kind of hanging around the area. Look for lows to bottom out right around 60 as we're waking up for Monday. Partly sunny, chance of an afternoon thunderstorm as we kick off the work week. Look for a high Monday, 83. By Tuesday, going to dry out just a bit. Sunshine, 85. Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms, 75. From the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Craig Ross with the 810 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
Pets aren't just animals. They're companions and often members of the family. Unfortunately, pets are not always treated with the care they deserve. Animal cruelty and neglect are sadly a reality. Detecting and reporting abuse are the most important steps in bringing animal cruelty to an end. The Schenectady County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, is a nonprofit volunteer organization that investigates complaints of animal cruelty. Our volunteers donate their time and energy because they believe in our mission to protect animals. We are not funded. We rely exclusively on public donations. You can help with a tax-deductible donation by calling 518-755-9517 or visit our website, SchenectadySPCA.org. Or if you'd like to join the Schenectady SPCA as a volunteer, again the number 518-755-9517. Or on the web, SchenectadySPCA.org.
If a commercial lease is in your future, listen closely. Conley Associates will provide you with an honest, unbiased comparison of available office space. Unlike the competition, Conley Associates works directly with you, the tenant, finding your business the ideal location at the best terms. Best of all, leave the landlords to us, because we represent tenants only. Secure your new office space with a tenants-only approach from Conley Associates. Landlords need not apply. Conley Associates, 463-5500.
Great music. Thanks for coming back to us. If you're a first-time listener, you're listening to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and each Sunday at 9 p.m., I'll let you know about the legal issues going on around the Capital Region and around the world. We're broadcasting around the planet on WGY.com. Here tonight is my co-host, guest co-host, because Greg Rinke's not around, but my guest co-host, Kylie Scott, partner in my law firm, as well as former Albany County Assistant District Attorney Gina Decker, and our favorite intern, Tyler, and college Chris. So now, Kylie, you're a pretty... you're pretty common in the traffic court circles and criminal court. If a police officer pulls me over, knocks on my window, and says, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" Should I say, "Could it be because I was doing 100 in a school zone?"
Well, most people are going to say, "Matt, no, sir, I don't have any idea why you pulled me over," and that's probably a good route to take.
You don't think that that's going to set the cop off on a bad note? Hey, you didn't know that you were doing 100 in a school zone?
I can't say what the officer is going to do or not do, but my advice is to stick with non-committal answers. The main thing here is that you do not want to admit anything that can be used against you if you decide to take your case to a trial.
You know, I read these flyers from the ACLU and other organizations that say you got to keep your hands at the 10-2 position on a steering wheel, or the cops are going to get all nervous. What's the story on that?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, the bottom line here is he has a gun and you don't. So if you're pulled over, my advice is if it's at nighttime, put your dome light on so the officer can see what's going on in your car. put your hands on the steering wheel and wait for some instructions.
All right. I never go out of my house without a gun, Kylie, so it's even footing here. But
well, that's you, Matt.
That's people. Another story. What should I do? Should I roll down my window?
I would roll down your window at this point. Roll it down. Let the officer have a clean view. Show him that there's nothing that he needs to be alarmed at. And again, just wait for instructions, and he'll tell you what he wants you to do.
Should I hop out of the car when he pulls me over once I park and say, hey, what's going on?
Under no circumstances would I advise you to get out of your car. An officer could take that as that you are being aggressive towards him, and you might just have a gun pointed at your head.
What about if you should you be grabbing for your registration before he comes up, or should you sit there? Because, you know, you don't want to be fumbling through your side passenger side.
You have to keep in mind that officer, from the time that he gets out of his car while he's walking up to your window, is looking at you, okay? And any movement that you're making in your car, he can take that as you're trying to hide something or put something under your seat or in the center console, and you're giving him a suspicion. And at that point, you're opening up the gate to a possible search of your vehicle.
So the bottom line is, be nice to the cop, but don't confess anything and don't do anything that I would call, you know, stupid, which is basically reach underneath your chair, you know, curse at him, rip up a ticket, throw some weed at the passenger side window.
Right. I mean, he's got a job to do. You were speeding. Be polite to him. Get your ticket. Right there on the side of the road is not the time to contest your ticket. It's for a courtroom. So do what you have to do at that moment. If you decide to fight that ticket down the road, hire a lawyer, and he'll take care of it for you.
Can he search me? Or he or she? No offense to the female law enforcement officers. Can they pull me out of my car and search me for a speeding ticket?
If the only reason that they are pulling you over is for a traffic infraction, they cannot search you.
Say you got convicted of something, they found an illegal substance on you. Does it help to cooperate, or would you get the same amount of time or the same penalty as if you didn't cooperate?
What do you mean that they found something on you during the traffic stop? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, at that point, if they actually find something on you, my advice to you would be to not answer any questions. Like we discussed when the show started, just get an attorney, okay? Because the officers are not your friends. They're not there to make life easier for you. They're there to solve a crime.
Well, maybe you could explain this to me. If the police can't search my car, if I get pulled over for speeding, why do they always ask, is there anything you want to tell me that you have in the car?
Well, because they're counting on the person behind the steering wheel not really knowing what their rights are and not really knowing what the law is. So think of how easy it would be if the police only had to walk around asking people questions and they always admitted to what they were doing that was wrong.
So if the cop asked me, is there anything you want to tell me, and I have a guilty conscience and say, yeah, I got a pound of marijuana underneath my seat, then you can then search my car.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, do you have a right to check the radar? That's a common question I hear all the time from lay people when they get pulled over for speeding, is the cop didn't show me the radar.
I don't think that – I know the cop is under no obligation to show you his radar.
When I was talking to Jay from Loudonville, I told him not to plea on the ticket. Do you agree with me, Kylie?
I do agree because, like I said, 9 times out of 10, if you take your case to the courtroom – you're going to get it reduced. And there's so many people, especially in the capital region, with the highway running right through, that are pulled over and receive speeding tickets. If the DA's office tried to prosecute every single one of those tickets with a trial and not pleading these cases down, that'd be all they had time to do.
There's probably thousands of people right now that are listening to us that are driving on the Northway or on the Thruway coming down from the Adirondacks, going down to the city, or going from the Catskills down to the city. And if you want to talk to us, star WGY on your cell phones. But for those people, is there an advantage to them hiring an attorney if they can plea out on their own?
Yeah, there sure is. First of all, in New York State, we work on the point system. And what I mean by that is for every infraction, traffic infraction that you commit, you get a certain amount of points. If you get to 11 points in 18 months, your license gets suspended. If you get 3 speeding
tickets.
Well,
how do you get to 11 points? Like Jay was saying, he's getting 4 points for doing 10 over the speed limit.
Everything in the vehicle and traffic law comes with a point amount that's designated to that crime. So if you're that infraction or violation. So if you're convicted of that certain violation, you get that amount of points.
Now, if I get 3 speeding tickets in 18 months, does that have any consequence for my license?
3 speeding tickets in 18 months is an automatic suspension of your license in the state of New York.
Now, is it actual convictions? How do they gauge the 18 months? Is it from the time? If I did 3 speeding tickets all in 1 week, does that have more of a consequence because I guess I'm being stupid, or does it have less of a consequence if it's 3 tickets spread out?
Well, it's 3 tickets in 18 months, but that counts from the time of your conviction, Matt.
Okay, so basically if I hired an attorney and he were to get some adjournments, he could push it out to the outside the 18-month window and start all over again on my speeding.
He could try to if the DA's office actually allowed that to happen.
And if I'm from Long Island and I got a speeding ticket up in Malone, New York, you know, where I think the cows outnumber the people, do I have to drive up there or can the attorney make the appearance for me?
Well, that is one of the biggest advantages of actually hiring a lawyer, Matt, is that the individual, once they get an attorney, doesn't have to worry about coming back down, driving down the highway for 7 hours, taking time off of work to answer a simple traffic ticket. They can hire an attorney. That attorney will have his client sign what's called an affidavit of representation. And basically what that does is it gives the attorney the right to go into court without the client being there and pleading the case down to a lower violation.
I think that's like the key benefit of having an attorney is the you don't have to put up with all the inconvenience of going and dealing with the cop and going up to Malone again.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. You know, they might not want to pay attorney's fees, but then when you take the time, the gas is $4 a gallon now, and the time off of work, it's definitely cheaper to hire an attorney at this point.
Well, you guys are talking a lot about having points. What kind of ways can I reduce my points? Is there any way besides just time that my points will go down?
You can take what's called a defensive driving course, and that takes 4 points off of your total.
How many times can you take that? Can I just keep going back and taking defensive driving class?
It's once every 3 years.
So one time in 3 years I get to lose 4 points. That's it.
Correct.
All right, let's take some phone calls. I got Mike from Niskayuna. You want to know about being pulled over? Mike. All right. Well, Mike from Niskayuna, we're going to have to get back to you. Back to you, Kylie, real quick. Insurance. If I get some moving violations, is my insurance going to be impacted?
It sure will, Matt, and that's another advantage to hiring a lawyer. An attorney knows what violations affect your insurance and what violations don't. So once we get in there, we know what to ask for. We know what to plead your case down to. So that's one of everyone who calls me on the phone, that's their biggest concern most of the time is, hey, is this going to affect my insurance? And I can tell them, look, we know what to ask for to make sure that that doesn't happen.
The insurance is going to go up if you get a moving violation. If you hire an attorney, you don't have to appear in court. Odds are he's going to plead out so that you either don't get a moving violation or you get less of a moving violation so your license isn't suspended. All of that, does that equal the price of an attorney? How much does an attorney cost to handle a speeding ticket, and is it worthwhile?
I think based on my experience, the price to handle a speeding ticket in the Capital Region starts probably from $500 down. After you factor in
I love how lawyers say $500 down. A layperson would have said, you know, from $100 up.
Well, that's probably the high point. But hiring a lawyer is one thing that you don't want to – it's like a doctor. You don't want to take the cheapest one. You want to take the one that knows what they're doing. So
I think any attorney that is charging money – let's do respect to all the attorneys out there. Any money that's being, you know, any attorney that's charging money for a traffic ticket knows what they're doing.
We hope so.
All right, keep on going.
What was the question, Matt?
Is it worth money, the amount of money that I'll save from insurance, from the fines and surcharges, is it worth more money to get an attorney, or am I losing money by getting an attorney?
Well,
Gina.
Well, Matt, in addition to the insurance ramifications and the fines associated with the ticket, New York has also implemented what's known as the driver responsibility assessment, and this was implemented in 2004. In addition to any fines you have to pay, if you get 6 points in a period of 18 months, you have to pay $300 over the course of 3 years. If you get for every point above and beyond that 6 points, you have to pay an additional $75 over the 3 years.
You know, one of the questions that we got earlier was supporting depositions. I was always under the impression, and this is because I guess I beat a speeding ticket when I was younger by asking for a supporting deposition, that if the police officer doesn't give you a supporting deposition within 30 days, the charges get dismissed. So why wouldn't you, Kylie, want to ask for a supporting deposition if you could have the potential of getting rid of the charges?
Well, That is correct, Matt. If they don't support, if they don't give you the supporting deposition, there is a chance, a good chance, that the attorney is going to be able to get that ticket dismissed. However, in my experience, and I think Gina can contest to this, that that more than likely the officer is going to respond to the supporting deposition. And what you've done now is for more or less irritated that officer, because now he has to do more paperwork, and it is going to affect what your attorney actually can do for you when he goes into court.
All right, we have to break for commercials. When we come back, we're going to be talking about DWI laws in New York, and we're going to be talking to Mike from Niskayuna and Chris from Del Mar. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-TALK-WGY, star WGY on your cell phones.
You know this isn't the right job for you, but the problem is you don't know what the right job is. If you're looking for career advice, Careers in Transition LLC can help. Careers in Transition LLC is a career counseling firm that helps you figure out the right job for you. They're not an employment agency, and Dr. Tom Denham is not a headhunter, but they can help you write a better resume, prep for a job interview, and a lot more. Careers in Transition LLC, 11 Computer Drive West in Albany, 366-8451, and online, Careers in Transition LLC.com.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, portfolio manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
All right, Integral One Network Solutions. Tell me what they do again.
Well, they worked with us to design our new computer network. That's really made a difference. Helps us run our business better. They monitor everything 24/7 to keep it running smoothly. And they manage it all, so I don't have to hire an IT guy.
So when I hire Integral One, they manage my network so I can manage my business. Talk about peace of mind.
Integral One Network Solutions, online at integral1.net. That's integral1.net, 464-4014.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but First Rate Funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable rate mortgage, First Rate Funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First Rate Funding, New Carter Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
We are back to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and I'm here tonight with my guest co-host, Kylie Scott, and former Albany County District Assistant District Attorney, Gina Decker, as well as College Chris and our favorite intern, Tyler. To find out more about us, go to WGY.com. To give us a call, star WGY on your cell phones. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. Chris from Del Mar. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing? This is Chris Cagiano from Del Mar.
All right.
I got a good question for you. My brother-in-law, his lights are out and his car, his turn signals are off. Now, if he uses hand signals, can he still get pulled over and get a ticket?
Well, just so you know, if you have a broken taillight, that's an easy cure. That's what actually police love to give, because the cops get to scratch a ticket off their ticket book, and you have roughly 24 hours to fix that up. And if you fix it up, you take it and have a mechanic sign off on it or go to a police station, that broken taillight can be easily fixed, and it's an easy scratch for everybody. The cop writes a ticket. You get a ticket that you can fix in 24 hours. You don't pay any fines, so you're in good shape if you get that ticket. Now, if you don't use your hand signals, that's a violation of the vehicle and traffic law, and that goes back, you know, 100 and something years. So if you do have a broken taillight, you use your hand signals, you're good to go. You don't use your hand signals, you can get a separate ticket just for not using your hand signals. So
wow.
the easier one to get hit with is the broken taillight, because that's an easy fix. And that's okay. Something that most people don't realize, and that's if you're in the business, the police love to give that one, because all you got to do is get that taillight fixed, go to a police station, go to a mechanic, get it fixed, and you're good to go.
Great.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. Hopefully this time I get Mike from Niskayuna.
Yes, hello.
All right. I've been looking for you for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, we got lost. Okay, I have another question concerning traffic citations. If a driver is pulled over
and ask for identification. The question is whether or not the driver can, before giving identification, can ask for the reason for being pulled over.
Well, that's a very good question. And Gina, as a former assistant district attorney, what are the rules on that? Can a cop just walk up to anybody on the street, or can he pull over anybody and show me and say, you know, show me identification, or does he have to have some type of you know, probable cause or reasonable grounds to suspect criminal activities afoot?
Well, it's a little bit different if you're being walked. A police officer is walking up to you on a street. They can ask for your identification, but you are free to refuse to give it to them, and that cannot warrant more intrusion by the police.
So let me get straight. So I just left a meeting with Governor Patterson over in the Capitol. I'm getting into my limousine, and a state trooper stops me right before I get into my limousine and says, hey, can I see your driver's license? Can I tell him, no, get away from me?
Absolutely. It would be no different than if I walked up to you as a civilian and said, who are you? What are you doing?
Let's change it now. Now I've left the meeting. My limousine is driving on 787 northbound, and I get pulled over. Can the cop ask for my driver's license then?
Yes.
Okay.
He can ask for your driver's license, but he cannot search your vehicle. There's no more police intrusion that can be done just because you're in your vehicle.
Okay. Kylie, real quick, because the traffic tickets is really hot tonight. What about out-of-state tickets? Let's assume I used to be in the military, still in the Guard now, but used to be active duty. I had an Oklahoma driver's license. I come to New York. Should I keep that Oklahoma driver's license so that way I can speed and not have to worry about points, or does my Oklahoma driver's license get points too?
Well, you're in New York State. If you have a New York State driver's license, New York does not record out-of-state violations committed by New York State drivers and other jurisdictions.
So hold on. So if I'm in Oklahoma and I get caught speeding, there's no consequences in New York?
That's correct. Unless it's an alcohol-related incident, then you're going to have your consequences in New York. Every state in the country has different laws concerning if they're DMV records their points, or they are
okay. So you don't understand. You don't know how Oklahoma does it, but you know in New York, if I got a New York license and I get pulled over on the Jersey Turnpike heading down to DC, I don't have anything to worry about minus whatever fine I'm going to have to pay.
That's correct.
Now, how does it work? Well, I guess you wouldn't know if I had a New Jersey license in New York, but if as long as it's a New York license out of state, I'm good.
Unless it's an alcohol related incident.
Gina, I want to change the topics a little bit. Let's talk about driving while intoxicated. Albany County has just implemented a crazy policy about DWIs, which basically is going to force a bunch of trials on DWIs. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Albany County DWI policy?
I can, Matt. And I understand why they're doing this. DWI convictions were – Albany County was one of the lowest counties in the state of New York. Too many pleas were being taken by prosecutors. So they implemented this new policy, and it all really hinges on your BAC, which is your blood alcohol content. And that can be affected by many different factors. It's really how much alcohol is in your blood. So if you have a blood alcohol content of 0.14 or below, you can plead to what's known as a DWAI, which is driving while ability impaired.
That's in Albany County.
In Albany County,
and
correct.
Does each county in New York State have their own rules on DWIs and DWAIs?
Well, this is a policy. It's not the law, but in Albany County, they're cracking down on DWIs. So each different district attorney's office is going to have their own policies on how they want to deal with DWIs.
Mm-hmm. Now, a DWAI, is that a traffic violation or is that a misdemeanor?
It's a violation.
Okay, so if I get arrested for DWI, the best thing that could happen to me generally is a plea to a DWAI, which is basically the equivalent of a traffic ticket, minus some alcohol-related consequences. I'm going to have to pay more. My insurance is going to go up.
Right, and New York state law prohibits a plea to a non-alcohol-related offense if you are pulled over for a DWI. So the best plea you can get is a DWAI.
So you're saying this DWAI is a violation? Is it kind of like parking on pavement? I know it's a moving violation, but is it still going to be on your record like for a while? I don't know how many years they stay on. But
well, it's an alcohol-related offense, so it's a little bit more of a big deal than a parking on the pavement. The fines are heavier, and you do have an alcohol-related offense on your record. If your blood alcohol – now, back to the Albany County, the new – policy. So if you're above a 0.15, or 0.14, excuse me, they don't allow you any longer to plead to a DWAI. If you're from a 0.15, to a 0.19, they're going to have you do what's called plea to the charge, which you're going to be pleading to misdemeanor DWI. And if you are from 0.17 to a 0.19, you're going to be pleading to an aggravated DWI.
Okay, so why would I care? What are the differences between a DWAI, a DWI, and aggravated? Is it jail time? Do I do more jail?
Well, yes. For a DWI, that's a misdemeanor. And if you plead to a misdemeanor, the way DWI works is it's an aggregate thing. So if you get one DWI the first time, chances are, in my experience, we didn't send people to jail for their first DWI. But your second DWI, the ramifications get a little bit stronger, and then you can get up to a felony DWI, and then you're looking at serious jail time.
Gotcha. You know what I love to talk about, and I know my listeners love to hear it, is how do you beat these charges? How do you get over on the police officer? And Kylie, I could be drunk as a skunk, and there is something called a two-hour rule, which allows me, if a cop takes his time on giving me a breathalyzer, and explain this in more detail, but I could be drunk as a skunk and not get convicted of a DWI if this two-hour rule is violated. So tell us about the two-hour rule so our listeners know something.
What the two-hour rule is, Matt, it says that once someone is arrested for a DWI, the officers basically have 2 hours to set them on a breathalyzer or the Data Master, or from the time that they test positive with the breathalyzer. What I mean by that is the one that's used on the street, 2 hours from that time. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the charges are getting dismissed if it comes after the 2 hours. However, it gives the attorney, the defense attorney, a great issue for a suppression hearing. And obviously, if that positive test on the Data Master was suppressed, then the DA's office has now lost their evidence as far as prosecuting you for a DWI.
And here's another one that you can get over on that I see a lot of times is cops will pull you over for speeding and then they smell alcohol, but they don't, then they arrest you for the DWI, but they don't actually issue a ticket for the speeding. Does that invalidate the DWI?
Well, it doesn't invalidate it, but again, it gives you a great issue for a hearing, because if the whole reason that they're claiming that they pulled you over in the first place is a traffic violation and they don't issue you a citation for that violation, then it could go to possibly showing that the actual stop that resulted in the DWI was bad. So
now talk to us. Here's the other thing that I found very interesting is when most police officers pull you over at night, they have a flashlight. And now, thanks to technology and Stop DWI grants, most of those flashlights have alcohol sensors on them. So when you get pulled over for not having a taillight, for having one of your headlights out, for speeding, illegal U-turn, whatever it is, they are sitting there talking to you, asking for your driver's license. They're going to try and strike up a conversation because they want that alcohol sensor on the flashlight to go off.
Right. I don't know how many jurisdictions are using this, but they do have the technology nowadays that when they shine that flashlight on your face, what it's really doing is reading your BAC.
Now, what happens when the police officer asks me, how many beers have you had to drink tonight? Should I say 12?
Well, 9 times out of 10, the most common answer that people are going to give is, I've had a few beers, officer. And basically, at that point, he already has some suspicion that you've been drinking, so he's going to give you the field sobriety test anyways, or at least ask you to do one.
Hey, that's it for this Sunday. If you have more to say, check out our website, TullyRinkyShow.com. You can send us an email anytime at info@TullyRinkyShow.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be here on WGY each Sunday at 9 p.m. Be sure to join us back next week as we talk about another legal issue facing the Capital Region.